Good morning. Thank you, Ivan, for that verse. It segues quite nicely into the sermon and what I'm going to be speaking about today. Before I get to the sermon, let's just quickly pray for it. Dear Lord, we pray that the words that I speak today, that they would be from you, that they would hit the hearts of all the believers here in the congregation, and that above all, that your name would be praised and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. My main text today is from 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, and there'll be a few more texts in both 1 and 2 Timothy as well. Let's start with 2 Timothy 4, 1-4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Paul also says in his first letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, 3-5, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God, that is, by faith. The aim of our charge is to love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Well, doctrine, that is the topic of today's sermon. It's a word that carries a lot of weight in the church. Many, when thinking about doctrine, consider it to be something that a theologian does, sitting in an armchair surrounded by hundreds of books on shelves. Associated with doctrine are long ology words, words like eschatology, Christology, pneumatology, anthropology, and bibliology. Although these words at first may sound long and abstract at first glance, these are all areas of study that are experienced in the daily Christian life. And it is their study and how Scripture relates to them that aid the formation of our church's doctrine, or the core beliefs that we hold on a day-to-day basis. Paul, in Titus 2:10, states, "This good doctrine of God, our Savior, will be an adornment to believers." Paul further speaks to another young man already mentioned, Timothy, on this matter, when he states in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." These verses speak to show that if Christians genuinely believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and the Holy Spirit, they should strive to glorify God through sound doctrine. Why is this? The answer is because all sound doctrine is meant for the glory of God and the growth of a personal and intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. It's no secret that Christianity's traditionally held beliefs have been under attack from both within and outside the church in recent years. Stanley Horton has stated, "The lack of theological mindedness is a symptom of the only skin-deep faith of the modern church. Unfortunately, shallow experience-driven faith has caused an epidemic of spiritual babes in North American churches. And this, along with the general disinterestedness in the study of doctrine, has caused disillusionment with the Christian church and the Christian faith, leading to an exodus of believers out the doors of the church that has been unprecedented in recent years. The church should continue to affirm its faith in the revelation of God in Christ through the ongoing work of theology and thinking about the faith. If the church is to be effective in spreading the truth of the gospel in the 21st century and beyond, it is essential to base the Christian faith in Holy Spirit-inspired, sound doctrine pulled from the Scriptures. It has become clear that the church must rise to the occasion during this hour of spiritual darkness. A good place to start is to create a solid doctrine founded in Scripture, which answers the questions of this world. The believer can do three things to help accomplish this task. Firstly, the Christian must define Christianity for what it is. For we live in an increasingly pluralistic society with mixed religions and backgrounds. Secondly, the church must guard itself from incorrect doctrines stemming from false teaching within the church. And thirdly, the believer must be willing to give an answer to the difficult questions of the unbelieving world. One of the greatest traits of North America is the variety of culture and of people that comprise it. Cultural pluralism has allowed the average person to experience delicious foreign foods, learn about cultural norms and ideals from all over the world, and meet people who have had diverse experiences in our own culture. The acceptance of other cultures is no doubt a gift, but the Christian church should be very cautious when pluralism starts to cross cultural boundaries and encroach on religious ones. The church must always keep in mind Deuteronomy 4:39, which I will turn to here, which says, "Know therefore today, and lay it to your heart, that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other." The doctrine of the church should be completely and utterly careful in allowing the beliefs of other religions to influence its theology. It must be defined so that the church can distinguish and detect differences between what is sound biblical doctrine and what is seemingly innocuous but deadly doctrine that has its origin in other religions. A good example of having a distinct doctrine can be applied to the definition of meditation. Christian meditation can be defined as filling one's mind with the Word of God and dwelling upon those words while actively communicating with the Holy Spirit in contemplative prayer, which brings about a peace in our lives due to a close and intimate personal relationship with the living God. Eastern meditation, however, in contrast, focuses in on an emptying of the mind from any stimulation and attempting to find inner peace in the void of nothingness. As Christians, we must realize that we do not live in a spiritually neutral environment. We have an enemy that is bent on the destruction of mankind. Emptying one's mind, in essence, is the abandoning of some of the defenses that God gives man to protect himself against spiritual attack. When Jesus was spiritually attacked in the desert by Satan, he used his mind and his knowledge of the scriptures to fend off the attacks the evil one foisted upon him. This defense was not achieved by the emptying of the mind, but by rather Jesus' knowledge and proper application of the Word of God. Another common example of the importance in knowing Christian doctrine in a pluralistic society lies in the definition of God Himself. The God of the Bible is not the same God as the God of the Quran, or any other God that may be seen in society as similar to God. There are not many gods, and they are not all generally the same. And there are not many ways to heaven. The God of the Bible is the only living God, and there are no other gods but Him. It is only belief in the one true God that one may receive salvation through Jesus Christ and obtain eternal life. If Christians do not have a proper doctrine on the person of God, how are we to draw these defining lines between Him and any other God that we see people worship on the streets daily? How can we know that Christianity is exclusive on its terms of salvation? The world says there are many gods, but we must hold to the biblical perspective. There are many other practical examples of how beliefs of the world may encroach upon our doctrine. And without armoring ourselves with correct, solid definitions that are based in Scripture, it leaves ourselves exposed to the poisonous arrows of competing worldviews and faiths. These arrows at first seem innocuous, but when the poison of religiously pluralistic doctrines is allowed to infiltrate the church unchallenged, it can create significant issues. It breaks up churches. It causes problems in salvation. It ravages the modern day church, and we see it happening all across the world. Even salvation itself can be at risk. It is for this reason that we must stand on the scriptures and uphold proper doctrine. But we must also keep in mind, it is not only the outside that we have to worry about in protecting and staying true to our faith, but just as important as it is for the church to have sound doctrine to resist the false doctrines created by our religiously pluralistic society, it is important for the church to also apply sound doctrine to guard itself against teaching that is false from within the church. Many great churches have both risen and then fallen due to the false teaching that stemmed from seemingly innocent views on doctrine. False teaching is nothing new to the church. Paul addresses this as early as the very beginning of the church in Jude 4, when he states, For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our Lord God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. In the ancient times, we saw beliefs such as Gnosticism that brought the church together at the Council of Nicene to discuss and determine that Jesus was absolutely both God and man. Other beliefs and heresies crept up within the church, such as Arianism or Modalism, which challenged the existence of the Trinity. But each of these was discussed and then put down by theologians using the scriptures and communing with each other and the Holy Spirit to define what our faith is. Many of these false doctrines originate from within the church, at surface seem to have value, and to one that does not know proper doctrine, they may not immediately seem false. Often these doctrines are spread because on the surface level, they appear more attractive, or they appear maybe easier to think through and to interpret. A modern doctrinal heresy that has started in the North American church has been the Word Faith movement. At the surface level, the movement seems to be attractive, but under the surface it is deadly and goes against many of the major tenets that the Christian faith is based upon. The key issue with the movement is the belief that man, if man has enough faith, he can persuade God to fulfill his requests. This belief fails to recognize the sovereign nature of God. God is not at the mercy of man's demands, but rather man is at the constant mercy of God and relies on him solely for everything we have in life. This doctrine incorrectly places the focus of life on man rather than God. Man has fallen in his desires, and though we may pray for things, these desires that are within us are not always right in God's eyes and will not be fulfilled if they contradict God's sovereign will. Human-centered Christianity in recent years has grown exponentially in the Christian church to the point where it is starting to shape some of the church in general's Christian doctrine of who God is and who man is and what authority man has in the relationship between himself and God. The result is the false perception that God is made out to be less than he is, so that man may have more authority in his own eyes, which is counter to what the Bible says and what we know about God. Issues such as these must be countered with proper knowledge of doctrine and a competent versing in Scripture. False doctrines within the church must be divided as chaff is from wheat. And the wind that divides that chaff is proper Holy Spirit-inspired doctrine that is founded upon the Word of God. This is why Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Good doctrine is a defense against the world as well. We've established the need for doctrine so that the church may defend itself from religious syncretism and the false teachings within the church. But a proper view on doctrine is also needed to help the church and its belief against non-believers and skeptics those who would attack the faith and call God's existence into question. North American society was once mostly Christian. I'm sure some of you even remember a time where most everyone said they went to church. But it's not the case anymore. Now, more than ever, Christianity and its doctrines are being challenged, not just by the atheist philosopher in the university, but by the common man on the street who does not hold a faith in God. It has become culturally normal and acceptable to question everything about belief, especially Christianity. The Christian holds a responsibility to their faith to defend those doctrines against outside attack, not in an aggressive manner such as the Catholic Spanish Inquisition did in the 1400s, but rather in a manner that Paul did when he spoke to the men of Athens at the Acropolis, gently rebuking and teaching and showing what the Christian faith really is to those that have questions. It is necessary for the church to have a foundation rooted in proper Holy Spirit-inspired doctrine to do any of this arguing with the non-believing world about topics such as God's existence, the beginning of the world, the meaning and purpose of life, why pain and suffering exist. Christians may simply accept that God is eternal without question until a non-believer comes up to them and says, "How can God be eternal? He must have come from somewhere." If one does not have a foundation in the scriptures for their beliefs and does not go back to the Bible to reference that, they won't have an answer for this question asker, for this person who wants to know why we believe God is eternal. The non-believers, when gone unanswered, can sometimes think Christians sort of naive. Because this is one of the hardest stigmas to get away from in the North American church. But if the church grounds itself in proper doctrine and looks to the Bible for answers, and Christians across North America study their Bibles and study the Word of God and think about what they believe and why they believe it, we will be able to provide an answer for an unbelieving world and give answers to the questions that unbelievers and those against the gospel ask. Without this proper belief, Christian defense and evangelism cannot be presented convincingly. If a man does not have a proper view of God, of life, death, or salvation, his doctrine is not laid out in a manner that makes sense to the world. We must study, why has Jesus come to save our souls? We know that it is because man is inherently sinful, and we need Christ to stand in place for our sins. We are going to be going to communion in a few minutes and examine our hearts and remember what Jesus Christ did for us. But can we express our faith in a manner to the world outside? This is important because this is the core of the gospel. And this is why it is so important for the Christian to study the scriptures and to develop their own personal belief that is grounded in the Word of God. One of the greatest tragedies of our time has been the movement of young people in the church away from the church. Christian students are taken captive by the thoughts and philosophies that are taught to them in seminaries and universities and places of higher learning. Their faith is picked apart because they didn't put the time in to learn and to grow and to make their faith their own. Their philosophy teachers pick them apart and single them out. And often, when they come with questions, at times we fail to give them answers. These atheist professors of theirs will pick at all the little inconsistencies and all the little things that they see are incorrect in a believer's faith or their doctrine. God calls us to study His Word so that we can give a defense, so that we can take aside those younger in the faith, those ones that we must disciple, the ones that we must nourish and grow into strong believers, so that the next generation would be built up. This is why it is important for us to study the Word and to have a good grasp on doctrine. Because it's not only our own faith that can be challenged, but it is also the next generation after us who look at us and who take on the faith that we currently hold. And we must strive to pass on to them a strong, robust faith that is founded and cannot be shaken. If the church is to be effective in the 21st century and beyond, we must be founded in this Holy Spirit-inspired doctrine. When applied correctly, this doctrine, together with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, will enable the church to defend itself against the attacks of religious pluralism and the false attacks stemming from false doctrine in the church. It will enable us to be missionaries and to be messengers to the world who have questions and don't believe yet. The church cannot be apathetic in our quest for doctrinal accuracy. Holy Spirit-inspired doctrine is essential in showing the world the truth of the gospel and the reasonableness of the Christian faith to the lost world. If the Christian has proper doctrine and theology, it will glorify God. And this is what the church's ultimate goal should be: knowing what we believe and why we believe it, so that we may live a life and speak in a manner that gives God all the glory. Because that is what is important. J.I. Packer said, "Theology is for doxology and devotion. That is, the praise of God and the practice of godliness. It should therefore be presented in a way that brings awareness to God's presence. It is at its healthiest when it is consciously under the eye of God, of whom good doctrine speaks, and when it is singing to His glory." Each and every person can study the Scriptures, learn what the fundamentals and good Christian doctrine is, and through the living out of that faith and good doctrine, give glory to God. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, 13-14, "Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. He has entrusted us with His Word. He has entrusted us with this Bible. Let us never forget that life's answers and the questions can be found. Let us never tire of studying and answering the world's questions, because this is the only real hope that the world has. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And let us together go to the Word and speak the truth to an unbelieving world. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that we would be good stewards of the great knowledge that you have entrusted us with. Enable us to study your Word diligently so that we may apply it to our lives in a manner that is a witness to your glory. We pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would keep us true to your Word amidst the confusion of this world. We desire to honor you in all manners, including by honoring you with the diligent study of your Word through the development of our minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us from and cleansed us from all iniquity, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.